Well, what are the risks from blood clotting and is the AstraZeneca vaccine safe? Peter Collignon is Professor of Infectious Diseases and Microbiology at the Australian National University's Medical School. I spoke with him a short time ago.
Well, the risk of dying from COVID is so much higher than the risk of having any adverse effect of the vaccine. That's fairly obvious. Now, if we're putting this in perspective, if you're over the age of 80 or 85 and you get COVID, you've got a 1 in 10, even 1 in 5 chance of dying, compared to a 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 200,000 chance of getting this problem and then, you know, a lower risk of dying. So, you know, which would you take? You obviously would get vaccinated if there's any reasonable chance that you might get COVID. Now, if you're a 30-year-old, for instance, your chance of dying of COVID is about 1 in 10,000. Still, the benefits of the vaccine far outweigh the risk. With our vaccine rollout, the groups that might be more at risk, you know, women particularly under the age of 50, are not due probably to get vaccinated, the vast majority of people, for another number of months. So we'll have more data from Europe and from other places to really base these decisions on. But at the moment, overall, the benefits of that vaccine and all vaccines so far outweigh potential serious side effects that we would be still silly not to continue to vaccinate, particularly the at-risk groups, which are those over the age of 70.
When it comes to this clotting issue, what do we know about why it seems to be younger people and also females who are disproportionately affected?
Well, I think we need more data. It may well be that the immune response in some people is different to others. Uneven distribution of this complication in Europe, with Germany disproportionate, for instance, to England, where they really haven't seen it in any numbers. There may be some genetic factor as well. The short answer is we don't know. Luckily, it is still very rare if it is associated with the vaccine. And as information unfolds over the next month or, you know, few months, that'll put Australia in a much better position by the time that age group comes up to be in our lineup for vaccination. We will know better whether it's worth giving that vaccine to those people or to others, because by that time, I think we will have, you know, the ability to have imported more vaccine from some of the contracted suppliers overseas.
If it's going to take some time to figure this issue out, how much of a risk is vaccine hesitancy while this debate and uncertainty goes on?
You know, I think one of the problems we've all got is we're too much into zero risk. Everything we do, every medicine, every drug, even every action we do has a risk. We need to make sure we keep it as low as possible, but it'll never be zero. And that's true for every drug, every vaccine we use. We just have to make sure the benefits far outweigh the downsides, which invariably are there, which for these vaccines all seem to. Now, in certain age groups, it may well be that you take a different approach. Instead of vaccine A, you'll take vaccine B when more data becomes available. But overall, the benefits of vaccine in all age groups in adults seems to far outweigh any risks if particularly you have uncontrolled spread, such as a lot of the world, Europe, America. We're in a fortunate position in Australia. We're not in that position. We can learn from what happens in those other countries and modify our approach over the next 6 months while we try and get everybody vaccinated. But we want people vaccinated. This is not a disease that you want to get. So if we can avoid it with vaccination, we need to do it. We may just have to tailor it slightly so we give different vaccines to different age groups. But even at the moment, we can do that. We've got enough of the Pfizer vaccine, for instance, to maybe give it to the groups that might be more at risk, the healthcare workers, frontline workers, etc. But we should continue with the vaccine we're going to have available at 1 million doses a week, hopefully soon, with the AstraZeneca, for all the at-risk groups in that phase 1B group, which is particularly all those over the age of 70.
That's Professor Peter Collignon from the ANU's Medical School.